You are listening to Mark Hatmaker Rough and Tumble Raconteur. This is a grab bag of old school Western martial arts, resurrected indigenous ways and empirical musings tinged with a heavy dose of respect, admiration, let's call it hero worship, for these hosses of yore. Hey crew, this is Mark Hatmaker coming to you from the Command Sharia. Today let's talk a little bit about weapons. Well, weapons drilling specifically. We will be using Old West firearms to start this conversation, but these drills can be adapted to any weapon. I adapt them, and I'll explain how you can do that. We're going to be discussing poker chip draws and black powder dances, all right? Now, again, those of us who train weapons, whether that weapon's a firearm, a tactical folder, or a screaming stick, pepper spray, Viking, battle axe, likely. We're going to spend most of our time on guard or at port arms or weapons ready. In other words, our tool of choice is unholstered, unsheathed, unpocketed, unpursed, unquivered, and ready to go. You know what I'm talking about. We show up to class with, hey, how's it going? I get sticks out of the bag. And what we do, we get the training guns. We already have them out, and there they be, right? Our training is often drill-based or dual pattern. That's D-U-E-L pattern, meaning that all the preliminaries have been assumed. The fake words have been said. Weapons are in hand. Now we click the sticks 1 through 8 or adjust the paper target up and down range, slash 1, thrust 4 for reps, or apply the Centurion's Gladius to the post ad nauseum, right? We have to admit, if we're honest, that's how most of this training goes. But in the New World, that is Frontier America, a premium was placed not only in prowess with a weapon at the ready, but also speed of weapon acquisition and how quickly that weapon could be engaged tactically. In other words, we're not merely talking about fast draws, which is, you know, of the Old West legend. You know, did that ever happen? Actually, it did happen more than the Mythbusters would have you realize. I'm not talking about the fantastic show, the people who designate themselves, self-designate Mythbusters, which is not true. There's more going on there than you realize. We are, again, talking about true life fast draws to do the job. Now, let's not assume that the fast draws mere stuff of that Wild West legend applies only to firearms. We have numerous accounts of rapid speed, blade on the sheathing, fiercely fast tomahawk draws from belts, and arrows fired from hands with little preliminary. I mean, there are countless American Indian children's games. I'm talking, well, they're warrior games, but as children were warriors in the making, they've been classified as children's games, but actually they would do, many of us grown men and women would do well to do these drills ensured speed of weapon acquisition straight into tactical use. Consider the following account. This is October 1st, 1858, Indian Territory, later be part of southern Oklahoma. Major Earl Van Dorn is leading a retaliatory raid against a band of Comanche and Kiowa. At one point in the melee, Van Dorn becomes separated from his men and sees two warriors riding double. Van Dorn fires and kills the horse beneath them. According to Van Dorn, the two warriors hit the ground, rolled, and came up with bows in hand, each unloosing an arrow immediately. This is from his own letter to his wife. This is Major Van Dorn, letter to his wife. Quote, my first wound was in the left arm. The arrow entered just above the wrist, passed between the two bones, and stopped near the elbow. The second was in my body. The arrow entered opposite the ninth rib on the right side, passed through the upper portion of the stomach, cut my left lung, and passed out on the left side between the sixth and seventh rib. Unquote. Why do I include that as part of it? Showed you the accuracy of the shooting. This is mid-scrum. We already got adrenaline running here. Then their mode of transportation, the horse, is killed. They drop, they roll, they're up, they fire, and they hit what they're looking at. Major Van Dorn was saved by suppressing fire from his arriving sergeant, and thusly lived to relate this feat of agility under a falling, flailing animal directly into precisely targeted tactical advantage. Now, again, there are a huge variety of games. Again, what we would call them drills, children's games, warrior games that were used to develop this speed of acquisition skill. I mean, it could be for bow, arrow, it could be firearm, it could be knife, it could be tomahawk, it could be war club, it could be our tactical folder today, it could be our pepper spray. Today, we're going to take a look at a few. And this game, this drill can be played with your weapon of choice. I mean, after all, you can carry the biggest gun in the land, the sharpest blade on two coasts, the toughest stick in the jungle. But if you can't get to it when you need it, it's the same as carrying, well, nothing. Perhaps worse than nothing, as it's been mere baggage you've toted around and sunk hours and hours into drilling with. And it's all to no effect. If you can't get it, you can't use it. And whenever time you needed it, well, then it's all been pointless, right? Let's start it. We'll talk about the poker chip draw. It's one I've discussed before, but it deserves going to again and again. And again, what I'm offering here is just one iteration of the kind of beat the drop drill you can find throughout the historical record. But this is one of the most entertaining descriptions of it, in my opinion. This is a description comes from Dutch Henry Zablinski. He's explaining how it's done to Eugene Cunningham. This is sometime before 1934, and Cunningham's relating what Dutch Zablinski told him. Here it is. Quote, "For practice, there's nothing better than the so-called poker chip draw. Hang your gun to fit your arm. Now take a poker chip and put that chip in the back of your gun hand. Hold the gun hand out at shoulder level. Turn the wrist deliberately to let the poker chip drop and pull with your gun as if somebody were pulling to kill you. See if you can get it out, cocking up horizontal and pointed as you'd point your forefinger at the target and a shot loose, all before that chip hits the floor." Unquote. Now think about that. What we're doing here, that's in the back of the hand. It's not just tossing a chip up and going for it. It's that hand is out there from the horizontally in front of the shoulder. It's a deliberate turn on the wrist and a drop down, pull, extend, cock, and fire. And we're talking about these are a single action, so the cocking has to be done. This is all part of it. This is, if you're looking, working with the firearm, obviously dry firing the drills recommend to ensure the safety of those around you and your own foot. Now, this is an absolutely ingenious old timer's dry fire drill that can be added to the you can add on to the poker chip draw that will prove if you've got your shot off on the target or not. You can actually, this dry fire version, I'm not going to tip the hand here. I'm going to say that for the Black Box Brotherhood, you can dry fire with it and prove that you could have got that shot off or prove you were hitting what you're aiming at. And you can do the same thing with a knife work. Again, we'll have that for the Black Box crew. Anyway, this saves ammo and you can saves your ears. You don't have to throw on any headphones or and it's something you can actually make. You can use it with plywood, or you can actually even sometimes just make it with a good sheet of rawhide. Let's go back to Dutch Zablinski. Quote, "It will be some time before you can loose one shot ahead of the wrap of the ship on the floor, but practice will make you amazingly fast and accurate. Harvey Logan," that's Kid Curry of Butch Cassidy and the Wild Bunch, "could click out three shots to beat the chip. Now, whatever luck you have with the stunt, your draw will be improved marvelously. That falling chip is something to compete with. It keeps you at high tension." Unquote. And I love that last bit there from Zablinski. That falling chip is something to compete with. You don't always have to have that drill with it. You're, I mean, someone across from you get to work with this. It keeps you at high tension. And that's absolutely true. I mean, I feel that. I mean, I work this thing all the time. Again, weapon prowess is to be sought for. It is to be admired, but it often seems that speed of acquisition gets a bit of a short shrift here. This poker chip draw allows us to bring that bit of initial tactical advantage up to speed, literally make a mighty fine game of it while you're at it. Now, I told you I would give you a couple more tips and tricks for drills use. You can dry fire again. It could be firearm. It can be anything. It doesn't matter. But let's talk about black powder dances. These you can think of these as just additional drills. In some cases, they show up as dance. You can think of it as akin to a kata, except without being less formalized. And these additional drills, again, we can dry fire or live fire if you're out at the range. Or, and again, any weapon, you can do it with firearm, Jacobiton, I don't care. Just you can do it as long as you put the time in. Now, both the drills I'm getting ready to show you, discuss here, are derived from the Eastern Woodland Frontier tradition, and we have evidence that the formidable backwoodsman Simon Kenton himself would drill such practices. Again, both of these drills were based on pragmatics and the realities of black powder weaponry, and that transformed into the use outside of black powder weaponry to build advancing aggression and or fade away, or as it was called then, gone in the smoke. All right, now the black powder advance. Here's how to do this. You're going to sight your target, you're going to fire, and then you jump through the smoke. This is at an angle to reacquire the target to fire again or switch weaponry. Now, originally, the smoke was literal, but because we're using black powder weaponry, you fire, boom, big flash. Nobody knows what's going on anymore. But during that time, whenever you might be reloading or moving to unsheath the blade or loose your tomahawk, you can't be advancing down a straight line. You're going to be hit. Clearly, we need to make sure we have to have some movement off to the angle. So it was brilliant to think about. As soon as you sight, you fire, you jump. You don't stand one spot, you literally jump, but it is at an angle. And again, originally, as we've said before, the smoke was the actual literal here, but it doesn't matter what the smoke is now. The smoke could be the surprise of your shot. Your job is to close the gap, cut the range, and the wisdom was seized upon, and it became fire and go. So that is, if you draw and you make your initial shot, your strike, your cut, your slash, your stab, then jump to the smoke, jump to the confusion that your first aggression created, and continue on with that pressing of the action. Now let's talk about a flip side of that, which is another drill just called Gone in the Smoke. In circumstances where one was outnumbered, one would fire, and that is hit a hard, fast lateral cut. That is a movement to your left or your right of the original position to allow the smoke to hide the action. So again, back to the black powder weaponry, you'd fire, boom, there's a smoke. Don't stay in one spot. Don't retreat immediately to a straight line because we were going to fire where that last shot came from. You hit, you make that shot, lateral left or right immediately. Never a straight back retreat so you can hide yourself. And again, today's execution without black powder, the same holes. You're going to fire, you're going to cut, you're going to slash, your stab, you're going to swing that cudgel and cut laterally in the smoky confusion of your previous aggression. Now, again, these drills can be worked separately, but ideally chaining them as a poker chip draw directly to a jump to the smoke or a poker chip draw to a gone with the smoke gets us closer to the spirit of these old school wise and pragmatic tactics. There's many, many more drills down the pike that we're going to be laying out there that come straight from the historical record. And some cases, they're one-off instances, but you can be surprised at how many people are actually working these things in and out. Like we hear Dutch Zuplinski, Simon Kenton, we have evidence from the historical record. Literal drilling was done. There was some formalized work going on, a dedicated work going on with it. And again, for more information about everything we're doing here, rough and tumble, old school boxing and wrestling and gouging and ripping and mean and old school weaponry, have a look at our website, extremeselfprotection.com. Perhaps consider jumping aboard our Black Box Brotherhood, which is our monthly subscription service, which keeps you right up there with our training template. Of course, here's the like, support, share this podcast, or take a look at our blog, Indigenous Ability, where you've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of science and history. But other than that, if it's your first time listening, I appreciate you. Hey, have a good one. Well, if you dig what we just discussed today, I'd like to invite you to like and subscribe to the podcast. Hell, support it if you want. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. And if you're a glutton for punishment, just visit our website, extremeselfprotection.com. You'll find links to the blog, all of our products, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more pages of like musics.